It is Friday and time for the readaboutit.com Friday podcast. I'm Reed and this is About It. Thanks for tuning us in here on this Friday. We have to talk a little politics today. Now, let me explain this. I don't normally talk politics on the blog because, to put it this way, I don't want to piss somebody off. I want to piss everybody off. I think that's what a good comedian should do. And much of the reason why, after idolizing Dennis Miller for most of my life, I can't listen to him anymore. I think as a comedian, you got to be able to hit to both fields, you know? But that's pretty much all that's been on this past week is coverage and then The Daily Show and The Colbert Report, which, if they hadn't already won awards, I would gladly hand them out to those two shows after the last couple of weeks. But just very briefly, I'm worried about everything, really, because someone will win, I think, is the problem that I'm having here with this. The Republican convention was this week, and, you know, a little start, a little stop. Is the hurricane going to be bad? Do they want President Bush to show up and speak? Is Dick Cheney going to shoot somebody in the face on stage, which I think they're actually in favor of? But to begin with, we started off with the vice presidential thing. And I can't remember a time in my life when people weren't talking about this. You know, this is such a big deal. Sarah Palin being the vice presidential nominee, that it's like retroactively, I remember being in grade school and hearing about it. I mean, that's how far back that this just insinuates itself. And I'm like many of you, the first thing that I thought of when I heard who the vice presidential candidate was going to be, I thought, are you serious? Actually, there was more profanity in it than that. But I mean, if we need an executive branch of the Oval Office that knows how to repel polar bear attacks, yeah, it's a great decision. I don't understand it. It seems like in every campaign, there's a couple of moments where you just go, huh? And things turn, and suddenly you're not talking about the issues. You're discussing non-existent military service, or you're talking about things that are moral dilemmas that the president of the country doesn't actually have any ability to do anything about. This is my point. McCain's entire attack against Obama so far is that he's not experienced enough. And then he goes out and picks the governor of a state that has less people than Dallas in it. About 600,000 people live there. That may actually be the number of bears. I'm not certain. But that's it. He runs against a guy who he says he's not experienced enough, and then he goes out and gets someone who was, of course, groundbreaking. But, you know, there's lots of things that are groundbreaking. Neil Young albums are groundbreaking, and God, I don't want to listen to them. This would be like Obama running his entire campaign for the nomination against Hillary and saying that she's cold. And then when he gets the nomination, picking Lilith Crane as his vice president. I mean, that's where we're going with this. And it's a big deal for Palin because, let's face it, when you look at John McCain, you immediately wonder who is next in the batting order just in case he goes down swinging, you know? He's not a young man. Let's put it this way. His cancer cells have cancer cells. It's a bit of a scary thing. The one thing about this that I think is dangerous is that Palin is an attractive woman. And from a guy's standpoint, we're awfully stupid. It's very dangerous. Guys are stupid about pretty girls. Pretty girls, you know that. You know, what's the first thing that every guy that you know when they saw the nomination, because no, let's face it, nobody had ever seen this woman in the lower 48 before the nomination. Yeah, I'd hit that. Well, she's a V-pilf, you know, whatever. They immediately launched into that. That's the kind of stupidity that leads guys to do really, really monumentally stupid things. You know, to not think about not the issues, but even anything like breathing or blood flow. It leads guys to say things like, you know, I still love you. You're going to come back to me. You go ahead and keep that engagement ring. You know, it's along that pathway. So that's what pretty much the week has been eaten up with. And I keep seeing Republicans at the convention talking about change. Change? Change? How can both parties run for change? How's it friggin' possible? One of the parties had to have been in power, right? If you're going to run on change, then shouldn't you immediately step up and say, we're going to change things, and then apologize for screwing everything up in the first place? Wouldn't that be the best way to go? There's been so much talk about Palin that I don't even know if anybody saw McCain last night. It was on after the Giants-Redskins game. But I'll say this. McCain, I've always thought, would be a fantastic baseball commissioner. You talk about a guy that could bring integrity to the game, it's McCain. But in terms of the presidency, That's the speech last night. He's got that kind of charisma that makes Al Gore look like James Brown. It was, I don't know, blah, 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 pause for applause. Blah, 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 the left, pause for boos. Blah, 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 prisoner, blah, 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 America, cheers. There's not a lot of excitement there. I know that you're just preaching to your base, but, you know, open with a knock-knock joke. You know, whatever you got. That's the other thing about these conventions that scare me. Both of them, all of them, any of them ever. It's the crazed Hitler youth look in the eyes of the crowd that whoever they put up there with them, they could run their vice president, you know, as a stuffed moose. They'd roll it out on stage and the crowd would go nuts. And they would just completely lose it. I mean, the Democrats, Joe Biden, he killed a guy, didn't he? Didn't he beat a guy to death with a tire iron at some point? He's a little high strung. I'm a little worried about that. He's a little bit enforcer like. I think that the thing would be I can see him walking around the Oval Office, you know, carrying a paddle, you know, like the vice president of your high school. He strikes me as the very Breakfast Club principal type. You know what I'm saying there? And the other thing was Obama. Okay, he's still trying too hard to be cool. We know it. You're cool. You have charisma. Don't push it. Enough with the fist bumps. Enough with the high fives and the handshakes. He's like that teacher that only graduated 3 or 4 years before you in high school, and they just want to sit down, you know, and rap with you and talk about things. And, you know, eventually, you know, you run into them in the club later and that kind of stuff. I don't want that. I don't want that. It's amazing to watch this entire process play out where if you have too much experience, you're yelled at for that. If you don't have enough experience, you're yelled at for that. If you just got to the mainland, you're yelled at for that. My fear is that we're already locked in, that Obama's going to be attacked for not having enough experience, and McCain is going to be attacked for having too much experience, and we'll start, you know, tracking the baby daddy around, and we'll just completely forget what's important, whatever the hell that would be at this point. It'd be nice to get some concrete specifics, wouldn't it? Healthcare, taxes, immigration, anything at all. See, this is where being a non-joiner, you know, really, really hurts me, I think. But that was pretty much all that was on TV this past week. Burn Notice was off. They're taking a 2-week break, I believe, before they come back with the final episodes. The Shield is on. However, my lovely wife Kimberly is out of town, and I did not watch it. I won't until she comes back, even though I've been waiting for it for like a year and a half, it feels like. So I think I deserve some brownie points for that. Big Brother, the best moment of the entire year of Big Brother so far has been watching a 70-year-old man fall in a pool. So if you're not watching it, yeah, you've probably already missed the good parts. But we're going to come back next week, and hopefully we can drop the political discussion because they'll give us our damn TV back. That's basically what I'm hoping for here. Just go away. One of you has to get elected. We'll figure that out later. Anyway, be back Friday with more. Have a good weekend, folks. Or if you're listening to this during the week, hope you get to a good weekend. This has been the Friday ReadAboutIt.com podcast. I'm Reed. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, Seacrest out.